We have a lot of Eagles fans in this territory, and before we get to Jalen Reagor, most of the conversation has been about what the Eagles and Howie Roseman did with the second round pick in taking Jalen Hurts. And I don't think people are saying that he is a bad player. He was runner up for the Heisman. He had a bazillion touchdowns. He played in big time games at Alabama and Oklahoma. But how surprised were you, given that, you know, the Eagles were only a 9-7 team a year ago? They have an assortment of needs, that they used that pick for a backup quarterback?
Yeah, you know, when you go into last season, go back, the Eagles and the Cowboys were thought to have Super Bowl contending rosters. And both of them had to go down to the wire with a winner-take-all game at the end and get to the playoffs. Were they 8-8, 9-7, you said? 8-8, I thought they were 8-8.
9-7, 9-7.
Yeah, 9-7, which was, you know, frankly, a disappointment in terms of record, but they got to the playoffs. Okay, so how do you get better next year? Well, number one, you try and get some health. Number two, you're trying to get some receivers around Carson Wentz. And, of course, you want to add a linebacker and some defensive help, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think people had quarterback on the radar at all. So Jalen Reagor, when he came off the board, right position, but let's just be honest about it. People didn't know his name very much, because you know what it's like in the run-up to the draft. All of us who are on these shows who talk about the draft, we essentially play the hits for 3 months up until, meaning who are the top-ranked guys, and we beat those names into the ground ad nauseum. We throw a curveball at you every now and then, but for the most part, Eagles fans are like, Jalen Reagor. Well, go on, turn on the tape. You'll see he kind of is like the Sean Jackson in speed, stature, all those things. And he didn't get great quarterback play at TCU. So he was well respected going into the draft, but that's not the name Eagles fans expected to hear. But they did address receiver right out of the gate. Hurts, that's to address, hey, if we get to the playoffs, or to get us to the playoffs in case Carson Wentz gets hurt, we need that dependable backup, because Nate Sudfeld was supposed to be, broke his wrist in the season opener in preseason. Then, of course, they had to sign Josh McCown. Of course, he's 40 years old. And he did a nice job, but do you think you can get younger and better? The answer was yes. So Howie Roseman said, hey, I got a chance to get a quarterback that some people were talking about. You were going to trade back into the first round to get him there. And for all the people who are immediately going to the Taysom Hill thing, I am of the opinion you better pump your brakes. Because Taysom Hill is a different player than Jalen Hurts, and there's nothing wrong with either one of them. But the Eagles, they drafted Jalen Hurts to be their backup quarterback. And, yeah, if you want to do some of the gimmick stuff, you can do it. But if you call me and let me know next year when Jalen Hurts runs down on kickoff team, okay? You call me next year and let me know when Jalen Hurts lines up at a wing and blocks down on J.J. Watt, or he blocks a punt, or he returns a kickoff. Call me when that happens, because it's not happening, okay? He's a quarterback. All right, and that's what they drafted him for. So you can do the gimmick stuff, but when you say Taysom Hill, that's an entirely different animal. And there's nothing wrong with how either one of them plays, but Philadelphia did not draft him to be Taysom Hill. They drafted him to be their backup quarterback, and maybe you can expand your options on offense. And then everyone is all up in arms, like, oh, my God, you got him. In fact, I got a text from a friend of mine who lives in Philadelphia who said, we're all meeting at the Rocky statue and marching on Howie Roseman's house. I was like, dude, really? And it's like, I can't believe we took a quarterback. Why are we taking him there? I said, just wait and see what happens. I remember it vividly. It was that night. Wait. Okay. Well, let's look down the list. They addressed some defense with Davion Taylor at linebacker, Kayvon Wallace at safety, another offensive lineman, which they could use, Jack Driscoll, a tackle from Auburn. But then they got faster on offense like they said they were going to. John Hightower, wide receiver, Boise State in the fifth, and Quez Watkins, wide receiver from Southern Miss in the sixth. Did we not say going into the draft this was the deepest receiver crop we've seen in about 20 years?
Yep.
The answer is yes, and that's proof of it, because Hightower was well-regarded, as was Quez Watkins. In a lot of cases, you wonder why they lasted as long as both of them did. So everyone who was getting on this thing about Howie, what's doing this, what's doing that, I'm not saying I'm jumping on Howie's fan club, right? I'm not trying to be that guy. But I think in being fair as an analyst, he had a plan that got revealed as the draft went on, and I think that he executed it pretty darn well.
Charles Davis joining us, PA Sports Midday. The Pittsburgh Steelers supposedly have the 2-year window, assuming that Ben is still usable. Have the Steelers done enough to make sure that that window is going to be open this year? Did they really address their needs? I fully anticipated a Leonard Fournette trade. It didn't happen. Chase Claypool, many thought J.K. Dobbins. The defense, I keep getting texts from buddies, this defense is too good, they can't waste it. Are the Steelers making good use of the last couple breaths of Ben Roethlisberger's career?
I think they're making as good a use of it as they possibly can. Let me address Leonard Fournette right off the top. As one person who doesn't, I remember back in the day when we started doing this stuff on TV, long before I got on television, a lot of the GMs would say, yeah, easy for you guys. You're not having to turn in a card and defend it, which makes perfect sense, right? Their jobs are on the line with the picks that they're making, you know? So Kevin Colbert could go, hey, Davis, until you do what I do, to heck with you. All right. But let me just address Leonard Fournette. I would not trade for Leonard Fournette. He would not be on my radar. I would draft a guy and develop him better than getting Leonard Fournette. Remember, Leonard Fournette was a high top 10 pick. Do you guys think that he's played anywhere close to that on an extended period of time?
No.
When he's not hurt. I mean, he's okay, but he's not.
Yeah, but
he's not.
So you're immediately
his career does not draft it.
We're immediately at the qualifier. Okay, even when he's not hurt, has he consistently been that guy who's a top 10 guy?
No.
No. Okay, so you're going to trade for that player, right, who hasn't just been the on-field, right? It's been, is Leonard coming in for training? Is he doing this? There have been other questions swirled around too. I would draft my own guys and develop them that way. Now, whether Anthony McFarland is that guy remains to be seen. Did they want to spend a higher capital in the second round for, as you said, a J.K. Dobbins or someone? Arguably, that could have been a very good pick. I'm not going to argue against that. Claypool, the wide receiver from Notre Dame, big, strong, physical target. Will he move a lot inside? Because he may very well be a combo of wide receiver, flex, tight end type player. Because a lot of these tight ends coming out are just rocked up wide receivers anyway. But I like Claypool. I love what I saw from him in the Senior Bowl, how he went about his business. I thought that was a good pick for them. Alex Highsmith was the one I think surprised people because the former walk-on turned sack guy at Charlotte. But I like his skills, guys. I think that he's one of those players that fits exactly what Pittsburgh's looking for on an outside edge trying to go and get the quarterback. So that part works for them. To answer your question, did they do enough? Well, they didn't have a lot to go off of this year in the draft, as you guys know. First-round pick to Miami. For Minka Fitzpatrick, I think that's worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah.
Okay? The third-round pick, I went to Denver, so they didn't have that extra third in there. I think Kevin Dotson, the guard from Louisiana, has got a chance to play early. He's a big, strong, physical guy, and he'll knock people off the ball. And then probably down the line, Antoine Brooks, getting him out of Maryland. He was kind of the complimentary guy with Darnell Savage, who went to Green Bay last year. So I think all in all, they got some talent there, enough to address everything you're looking for. I would posit they didn't have enough picks to address all of that. And if you want to argue the running back in the second round for their first pick, I could have go along with that argument. But all in all, I like Chase Claypool as a player.
We talked about the Eagles taking Hurts, and that obviously moved the needle. But also what the Packers did at number 26, taking Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State, who had really, really good numbers 2 seasons ago, different team this past year, and the numbers really reflected that, almost as many picks as touchdown passes. But what were your thoughts on Green Bay going with Jordan Love in the first round?
Yeah, it was a surprise in a lot of ways. You know how it is, guys. We do so many of these shows leading up that you've got to keep coming up with different ways to say certain things. But I had talked with different people. I had some observations, and I actually ran it by a very good friend in the league like 2 days beforehand. And I said, hey, if Jordan Love is still available as we approach Green Bay, do you think that he could get to 30? And if he got to 30, would Green Bay take him? And my contact was like, dude, it seems crazy, but look at their history. And he said, yeah, I don't think it's totally out of line at all. It's something we talked about in our own building. And the reason being, remember Rodgers getting picked. But the difference is Rodgers was the number one ranked quarterback on a lot of boards. Okay. It was a weird year that he fell all the way to 24 and Green Bay just went, we got to hop on that. How would we miss that? Upset Brett Favre. Aaron had to sit for 3 years. Now history repeats itself and Aaron's like begging for weapons and you get me another quarterback. And not only that, he was maybe the third or fourth rated quarterback and Green Bay moved from 30 to 26 over some teams who weren't going to draft a quarterback. So the only thing I learned from that is that tells me Green Bay thinks someone else was coming for him. Okay, if they decided they wanted him, they would have to move because I think Indianapolis might have been willing to trade back in and get him. So, okay, fine, you do that. You get A.J. Dillon in the second round. People are scratching their heads on that one. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, I think, are going into contract. Last year, their contract. Okay, so that makes some sense to you. They got a lot of linemen, three in a row. Okay, you got to shore things up. But in the deepest draft, you don't get receivers at all, not a single one. And if I remember correctly, two of the three games they lost three in the regular season. One of the games they lost regular season, they got run over in San Francisco.
Right.
Absolutely run over. Then we get to the NFC Championship game, and history repeated itself to a worse degree. They didn't address getting stouter across the front on defense to deal with teams who are going to actually be committed to running the football. That surprised me, too.
Charles Davis joining us. Charles, real quickly, final question. I thought Carolina hit it out of the park. I think Yetur Gross-Matos is going to be a stud. Derek Brown, I like Kenny Robinson, the Pittsburgh kid from WVU. But they didn't draft a single offensive player. Have we ever seen that before with that many picks?
First time in modern draft that a team is picked only on one side of the board, one side of the field is my understanding. So it's the first time we've seen it. But if you just take it for what it's worth in terms of the quality and people they picked up, I'm with you. I thought they hit it out of the park. A really strong draft. And you know what else it told me? Matt Rhule really does have a 7-year contract as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Okay? Because he can afford to make this kind of a draft as opposed to trying to dabble in fit all the different spots, but he just said we're going to load up and be bigger and stronger and stouter on that side of the ball, and I think they did that. Remember, they're replacing Luke Kuechly, and as they say in Carolina, Luke and all those other guys that are no longer there, including Mario Addison, et cetera. So that was a good move on their part, but it was a weird draft and they didn't get a single offensive player.
Charles Davis, NFL analyst, CBS, appreciate your time. Be well. Thank you so much. Terrific stuff.
You guys the same. Take care. Stay safe, okay?